Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7. I hope that you're all warm and well this morning. Today I'm going to be looking at St. James, and I'm going to be asking the question that Jesus asked James and his brother John. What do we want from Jesus? What do you want from Jesus? Why are you in a relationship with Jesus? And maybe we need to consider what questions we would have for Jesus. This week we celebrated the life of James. We remembered his martyrdom. He was, of course, one of Jesus' first disciples and an integral part of the inner circle. In fact, one of the first to be called. James and John were the sons of Zebedee, who was a prominent fisherman who resided in Galilee, and they were both fishermen, which means, as I've said before, they'd completed their education in Jewish tradition. But, from what we can tell, they had not shown great promise in their studies, and so had returned to their father's trade. It had seemed that no rabbi had asked to train them further. In Mark chapter 3, verse 17, we're told, James and John were given the nickname, Sons of Thunder, by Jesus. This name apparently reflected their personalities, and we do see that later on. Both James and John were zealous for God, passionate, fiery, ambitious. And we will also see later on this morning how ambitious they really were, as we will read from Mark chapter 10. In Matthew 4, we were told Jesus had just been tempted in the desert. He'd started his ministry when he called his first disciples to follow him. And he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw the two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets in the lake. So they were also fishermen. Come follow me, he said. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw another two brothers, James, the one we're talking about today, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Obviously, also fishermen. And Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Reading this 2,000 years later, perhaps it doesn't have the impact that it would have had had we been there 2,000 years ago. Back then, this would have caused a stir, perhaps even anger from their father. Certainly astonishment. Fishing was the family trade. Jesus was not a recognized rabbi. And both Zebedee's sons immediately get up and follow Jesus. It must have been a shock to the whole family and could well have impacted on their ability to thrive financially. What I take away is how these brothers immediately got up and followed Jesus. I wonder if you have any plans for today. What are they? Are you prepared for Jesus to interrupt them? Because I do think that's what Jesus does here. He interrupts the family business. Are we prepared to have our plans interrupted and disrupted at any time and follow the plan that Jesus has? Follow the call of Jesus. I remember the day a few weeks ago when the roof fell in at the church. That was certainly not part of my plan, and I'm not saying it was God's plan either. But things happen that we haven't planned for and we deal with them. What about God's call? What may God be asking you or myself to do today that is not part of our plan? James becomes one of Jesus' inner circle, as I said, and we often find a reference to James, John, and Peter. They're often the only ones to be with Jesus and witness some of the extraordinary miracles and events. It would appear to me that Jesus was preparing them and teaching them because of the huge things they would have to do post Jesus' resurrection and ascension in spreading the good news. For example, James was present at the raising of Jairus' daughter, a young girl from the dead. We read that in Mark chapter 5. He was also up on the mountain with Peter and John, where they saw Jesus transfigured and watched him talk with Moses and Elijah, Matthew 17. James, along with John, Peter, and Andrew, privately asked Jesus for clarity after he told the disciples a temple would be destroyed, Mark 13. This was for me because of their desire to understand Jesus' words better. And so the four received some prophetic words from their Lord regarding the near future and also the end times. He also, James that is, was alongside Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, a story that is found in all four Gospels, the story of Jesus' agony before he's arrested. James is the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded in the New Testament. More on James in a minute, but first on the Mighty Hot 102.7, Tell Out My Soul.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Tell Out My Soul on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. This week we celebrated the life and the martyrdom of James the Apostle, and we've been looking this morning at parts of his life and how they reveal to us through the New Testament. I want to continue that journey now. In the midst of Jesus performing miracles, blessing children, teaching, preaching, James and John come up to Jesus and they ask him a question. They say, "Please may we sit on your right and your left." I'm going to read now from Mark chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." Just imagine going to Jesus and saying that. "We want you to do whatever we ask." Jesus says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You have no idea what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the other 10 heard about it, they were greatly displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, because whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whatever desires you desire to be put first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus then goes on to heal blind Bartimaeus. So James and John have come to Jesus and asked to sit at either his right or his left in his kingdom. Jesus tells them that he's not going to grant that request, it's not his to grant, and he prophesies about their future, that they are going to suffer persecution just as he is. Jesus handled the brothers' bold request, I feel, quite graciously, turning it into a lesson for them, a lesson for all the disciples on humility and how they are there to serve and not to be served. One wonders why the other 10 were so unhappy with them, but perhaps it's because they also wanted those positions. There might have been some rivalry between them. So later, James and John show us why Jesus called them the sons of thunder when Jesus sends messengers before him into a Samaritan village. The people of the village refused to welcome Jesus. And we read this in Luke chapter 9. And so James and John want to call down fire from heaven and destroy that entire village. This impetuous, if you like, and probably vindictive desire did earn a rebuke from Jesus. He did tell them that they were not right. And he reminded these sons of thunder that his mission was to save lives, not to destroy them. And it's a lesson for us too. When people come against us, we mustn't respond from an impetuous, vindictive desire for revenge, even if it is on behalf of Jesus. We need to show grace, mercy, love, forgiveness to all. Scripture doesn't record any specifics about James's activities following Jesus' resurrection, other than that he went fishing with some of the other disciples on the Sea of Galilee, that he did see another miraculous catch of fish, he had breakfast on the shore with Jesus, and we know that after the ascension, James was present on the day of Pentecost. We know he was very active in going out and sharing the good news, giving up his life for Jesus. As Jesus had predicted, James experienced persecution soon after the church began, and King Herod decided to arrest some believers, and he had James killed. We read this in Acts chapter 12. James then becomes the first apostle to be martyred. I'm still going to look at two things this morning and unpack them a bit more. Jesus' question to the brothers James and John, we're going right back to that. What do you want me, Jesus, to do for you? He asks the brothers. And I want to look at what we can learn from the life of James. But first on the Mighty Hot 1027, shine, Jesus, shine.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Shine, Jesus, shine on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And this morning I've been looking at the life of James and his brother John. We've looked at how they were first called, one of the first apostles to be called. We've looked at their challenges. We've looked at how they were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder because of their impetuous nature. And now I want to just look at two things that come up from the readings. The first is the fact that they go to Jesus and ask if they can ask him a question, if he will do what they ask, actually. And his response is, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I want to explore that question a little further and what we can learn from the life of James. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that question. James and his brother go to Jesus and say to him they want something from him. They want to sit at his left and his right. This, of course, would be a position of honor. And Jesus says to them, "What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you?" It is a question that I feel requires quite a lot of thought. Why do we follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Is there something you desire or want from Jesus? Do you even know what that is? Have you ever thought about it and brought it out into the open? I have to be honest and say this year, for the first time, I've really thought about that question as I read about St. James. What do I want from Jesus? The correct answer, of course, is that a deeper relationship with Jesus is what our hearts desire. And Jesus wants that heart-to-heart relationship with us, where our souls desire to be in communion with Jesus. And that is true. That is what I think, well, it's certainly what I desire, and I hope that's what you desire. But is there something more? The early disciples witnessed Jesus' drawing power as he drew the crowds to him. They witnessed his preaching and teaching and miracles. Were they with him for that? I think we know the answer is no, because they gave up their lives for Jesus. But are we following Jesus because we want something? Or do we even know what that is? When we bring this out into the open and bring it to Jesus, I feel our relationship with Jesus grows deeper. Where there is transparency and openness in relationships, my experience is that that relationship grows in depth and love, and the same is true for our relationship with Jesus. We need to remember Jesus already knows our hearts, just as he would have known that the brothers were going to ask him. But in order to answer that question, and in order to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, and in order to deepen our relationship with Jesus, I think we need to bring it out openly before Jesus. So maybe today we need to take some time to just sit, have an open discussion with Jesus, in deep prayer and contemplation. Because I found when I do that, my relationship does deepen, and I have a greater understanding. Jesus deals graciously with all of us, not just James and John, so there's nothing to fear. And I think that the anger of those other disciples is probably because they wanted that position too. And so sometimes we invoke the anger of others simply because they want what we want as well. What do we learn from James? One of the deacons in my church put it so well. He said that when we are called to build God's kingdom, we need to move from power to powerlessness. And James and John both asked to be seated at Jesus' right and left, and they are denied that, and they are taught a lesson in humility. And I think we need to learn from that. He's absolutely right, that we are called to move in the power of God, not our own power, and to let go of earthly powers. Jesus challenged them to know what they're asking for. We also need to know what we're asking for, and that's why I always add, if it is your will, God. We need to humble ourselves and rely on God's power, and we need to surrender into God and God's will. Our power needs to be sourced from God. We need to allow God to power all that we do. God may also ask us to move into uncomfortable spaces. James went to Spain, but even today we see the impact of that journey. It couldn't have been comfortable for him. God may move us somewhere that we don't understand, but we need to trust that God knows best and minister wherever we find ourselves. The life of James also for me shows us that Jesus knows our nature. Jesus knows us intimately, and we have to surrender into that. Jesus nicknamed James and John, as I've said, the sons of thunder, before he had spent years with them. He knew who they were. He knew the future for James, and he knew the nature of James, just as he knows the future for you and I and knows our nature. And just as he worked patiently with James and all the early disciples, teaching them, providing for them, disciplining them when needed, so he works with you and I. What I learn is that while boldness is sometimes needed in our journey with God, we always need to be bold in the power of God and according to God's will. There's a fine line between our passion for God and doing things with grace and commitment to God, and doing what God wants, not what we want. According to tradition, James then travelled to Spain, where he preached and shared the gospel, the good news, before returning to Judea, where he was martyred by Herod. The tradition also claims that his body was taken by boat to Galicia, a region in the northwest of Spain, and he was buried there. In the 9th century, his tomb was purportedly discovered, and a church, Santiago de Compostela, was built there. Pilgrims flock in their thousands today to walk the Camino, a pilgrimage, the way of St. James. A lady in my congregation has walked it several times and is encouraging all of us to go and do that walk. Today, as we move into the busyness of whatever we have planned, let us ask the question, what do we want from Jesus? And are we prepared to let Jesus interrupt those plans that we have for today? And are we prepared to surrender the day and our time and talents to God? May God bless you and your family and your loved ones. I hope that you have a great week. To wrap up this morning, blessed assurance and shout to the Lord. You've been listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 1027. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102. 102.7.